Ultima Dragons, know that the time has finally come for your fan club to enter a new quarter century. You all have been a thorn in my side for 25 years. Avatars, know that you shall continue and pass on your legacy to generations ahead of you. For the social and cultural significance of Ultima is far too important to let languish. It is influential, profound, and eternal. Here's to you in 25 years, Ultima Dragons. Happy anniversary.
Alright, well, welcome back to another episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug. This is episode 76, and I'm basically going to duck out for most of this episode because I have other things to attend to in real life. But that's okay, because you know what? The subject of this episode, I wished I could have been part of it. I was not able to be part of it, but there's a lot of people on board tonight who were part of it, and they're going to tell us all about the blast that they had. But first, this episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug is brought to you by our Patreon backers, so thank you to everyone who supports the podcast and the Ultima Codex by that means. And as always, a big hearty thank you to our co-producers, Seth, Dominic, Chris, Violation, Adam, Avatars Radio, Eric, Thorwan, Pascal, Neil, Helgruff, Aaron, and the Hearth of Britannia. And actually, do we have any new Ultima Dragons this week? Well, at the very least, we do welcome several people on the Facebook group. So we say hello to Kevin, Tony, Andre, Renee, Philip, Chris, and Will. So who all do we have on with us tonight? My gosh, I think once again, we have quite the roster of dragons. All right. So first off, we welcome Dark Wraith Dragon, who I believe is joining us for the first time.
Yes, I was a lurker on previous episodes.
That's right, you were. We've also got Draxaneth.
Wow.
Brilliant. Enchantress is also with us.
Yes, hi. Thank you for allowing me onto your podcast.
Oh, gladly, anytime. And we also welcome back Cran, a.k.a. Galara.
Hi, guys.
It's good to have you back. Golden Flame is here as well.
Hello.
And Helgruff is on board again as well.
Indeed.
Boolean Dragon is also here.
Hello.
And finally, Slashing Dragon has turned in an appearance. Or has he? You know what? There's always a microphone issue when you don't need it. But that's okay. We will give Slashing Dragon a moment to, oh my gosh, just it's one technical issue after another tonight. I don't know. Slash, just try like disconnect and reconnect or hit the desktop client. Either way, we will go on. And when you log back in and we can hear you again, we will greet you properly. Actually, you know what? To buy him some time, Boolean. How has your week been? What you been up to?
Oh, it's been pretty good. I've been screwing around with my Raspberry Pi and the emulators trying to work with the community around the 240p firmware modification. So I put up a video. I actually got the NES emulation extremely close. I got my composite AB switch so I can switch back and forth between my real NES and the emulation on a standard definition television over the composite output. And I got it to near phosphor perfect. So there's still some things that I'm trying to iron out. But so far, I'm extremely pleased. It has been so far the most accurate, best emulated experience that I've ever had.
I saw the video. It was excellent.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy about that. And that's about it, really.
Awesome. How about you, Helgriff? What you been up to lately?
About 5'10".
Fair enough. Golden Flame, how about yourself?
Not as much productive as I might have liked, but I did manage to get the skit script up on the press. And for that matter, this week I got the press back up. So
yes.
I guess that was productive.
See, I didn't put that in the news. I did put the script in the news, but I really should put up a separate article about, oh, hey, by the way, the Dragon Press is up again. Because, you know, it's always nice to have that. Cran, what have you been up to lately?
Been pretty busy since I got home. I mean, lately I've been working on trying to pack up all the Kickstarter rewards for the backers who could not come to the party. So there's an enormous amount of stuff that I have to do for that. Last night I went to see, it's part of a Women in Animation Festival, and there was a panel on women who make games. So it was a really cool thing to see anyway. But one of the panelists is, she works for BioWare, and she just so happened to be our wedding photographer from Austin from a year and a half ago. Huh. And I only found out about it the night before. Yeah, so she was really surprised that we were there.
Was she the one from Portalarium before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Melissa Celeste and Harley Dwartz. So they helped photograph our wedding at Lord British's place a year and a half ago. So it was really, really cool to see. And yeah, she said that her coworkers were very jealous that she worked for Richard Garriott, but she just happens to do photography on the side. So it just happened to work out. And she did this panel and inspired a lot of students to get into gaming. People got to ask her questions about like how to get into that kind of career. And it was just really insightful. But mainly I went because I found out that she was one of the people in it. So that was an exciting thing to do last night.
Awesome.
Sweet.
So Draxeneth, what we do here is basically just talk about, you know, anything that interesting that's been happening over the last week or so. So if you got anything to share, by all means, sound off.
I've been doing character design for my game, and I just opened my Facebook page for the project. There's nothing there yet, but a few short descriptions. But I'll be posting images of the characters in the following days.
Cool. Drop a link to that in the linkage channel, would you please? I'll make sure that it gets in the show notes.
Sure.
All right. And Darkwraith, how about you? Anything interesting?
I have been playing Mass Effect Andromeda pretty much nonstop.
Nice.
The last week. I love that game.
That's good. I look forward to playing it in a little less than a month's time. All right. My wife actually needs me. So what are we talking about tonight? Well, I was not able to go to the Ultimate Dragon's 25th anniversary bash. I really wanted to, but just circumstances in our life, my wife being pregnant, having a lot to do with that, and then just, you know, other stuff surrounding that and the changes that that necessarily means for family life around here, just I wasn't able to make it, but we have a lot of people on tonight who were. And so I'm actually going to just kind of turn the mic over and turn the floor over to those who were able to attend. And, you know, I just want to hear the stories, just hear your post-bash impressions. Use this as a big debrief session if you want. And maybe, you know, I don't know, Cran, you were kind of the... You're the one I think of as kind of being behind this all. I know you had a whole planning committee with you, but, you know, I kind of think of yours as being the original idea for this. And so... Right.
The organizer in chief, as it were.
Exactly. So why don't you start us off and just tell us about how it went? And the rest of you just chime in as you're able.
Oh, I kind of had some ideas. I mean,
go on.
The whole idea came about just because, well, we had the 20th anniversary of the Ultima Dragons in 2012. And when I pointed it out on Facebook, everybody's like, oh, wow, you know, that's cool. But then, like, nobody really did anything. So for the 25th anniversary, I mean, I didn't really solidify a plan until a couple of years after that. But I figured, let's do something really fun. You know, we deserve it. We are a little older now. We have the means to travel, and hopefully enough people can get together. But we really, really should do something big for the 25th anniversary. So it was just over 3 years ago this month that I'm like, you know, let's just go to Disneyland, have a fun time, and let's just get a whole bunch of dragons together, and I'll go hang out at Disneyland. So everybody kind of jumped on that idea. Several people offered to help. That grew into my planning team that I have today. And one of them, it was actually Koa's suggestion that we rent out a room in a hotel just to, like, kind of hang out, maybe do some gaming. And that sort of grew into what actually happened, which was an enormous room, a stage, bands, musical performances, different presentations, the play. I mean, so many people contributed a whole bunch of ideas. But yeah, I guess I kind of coordinated them into one cohesive whole, but it was really a collaboration between everybody. So it turned into a really, really huge deal. We had well over 100 people, and I think everybody had a lot of fun. But I was a little bit busy the entire time running everything, so I would like to hear some other experiences from people who were there, and, you know, just what they thought of the whole thing, because I haven't heard anybody, you know, saying anything bad happened. So hopefully it was all good for everyone there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no. We can hear you.
I'm hearing. I heard somebody. I'm guessing.
Okay, it's me. It's Slashing Dragon.
Hey, Slashing, good to hear you again. So how was your experience? Did you have a fun time?
Sure, it was amazing, and I had a lot of fun. I actually created like a summary of my experience, and I have tried to complement it with pictures from different people, and it's all in my blog. And yeah, it was amazing. I wish I could have had more time to participate, for example, in the role playing sessions that Nistel organized, and I think that was pretty awesome. And I think that was the only part that I felt I missed, because it was impossible to participate on everything at the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, but I feel I was able to get to participate on the most important parts, and the panels were amazing, and the skit that Golden Flame organized was also super nice. I hope someone uploads that so that the world can see it, because it was amazing.
Yeah, and you were also awesome. Yeah, and you were also showcasing your own game at the Bash, Ananias. So I'm sure that took up some of your time as well, trying to get feedback on that. That had to have been cool.
Yeah, that's right. But it was worth it, because I got a lot of feedback, and also I got a lot of British to play Ananias, so that was amazing.
Yeah, achievement unlocked on that one. Richard Garriott playing your own game.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I mean, I would have never thought that could happen. I mean, 15 years ago that I was playing Ultima and seeing like Lord British presents in the intro, I would have never thought that that guy will end up playing one of my games. But yeah, it happened.
That's incredible. Yeah, Golden Flame showed off his own game, and Sorceress showed off her game too. And the Originites played all of the games, which I think was really phenomenal. They got to experience what they've inspired us to do.
I don't actually think Lord British played mine. I think mine's the only one that he didn't sit down at. I didn't even think of it until like a week afterwards, and I went, "Hey, wait a minute."
Now you have to send him a note.
You have to send him a note.
It was hard because, I mean, he was busy all the time, of course. So I had to almost pull him from whatever he was doing. And I think it was just at the same time that the concert from, I forgot the name. Oh, my God. Well, the Space Bards was beginning, and I pulled him to check the game. So, yeah, I mean, it was hard to, like, get him to spare some time, but I very much to.
Recap.
Recap, yeah, recap.
Yeah, Golden Flame, I think ultimately your game was just too retro for him. He just didn't get it. Or he was jealous because it was better than Ultima 5, and he's like, no, I'm not having that.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Speculation. All wild speculation.
He tends to want to push the envelope in technology instead of go toward the retro games, so that's why he rebuilt the game engine with every single new Ultima that he put out.
Yeah, and he voted for Corvin in the Ultimate Project or whatever, the Ultimate Fan Project.
He did.
She's using what, Unreal Engine? Or yeah, I think it was Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
So, Enchantress, what have you been up to?
Me? Well, I recently moved into a new house, so that's been taking up pretty much all my time. Yeah, thank you. In addition to, you know, being in my third trimester, which has been an exciting challenge in moving.
Back, that would keep you a bit occupied.
Yeah. So that's been about all I'm up to now.
Yeah, congratulations. Withstand the Fury is actually having one more as well.
Oh, is he? Wow, congratulations.
I think he might have like three girls right now. I could be wrong about that. So we'll see if he gets a boy this time.
Do they know what the gender is yet?
I don't think so. We were talking about it in the last one, and I don't think he mentioned, unless somebody else knows.
Huh. Well, we have two girls already, and this third one actually is a boy. So you never know. You could have a long string of girls, and then it's still 50-50, right?
I have one boy, so I'm happy.
I have nobody! Nobody!
No dragonlets, man. That's a crime. You know what? Like, I never liked kids, and I had never really wanted to have kids. And the one I did have, it was unexpected. It wasn't planned. And granted, the first year was like torture, especially for somebody like me. You know, that never had like a baby or anything or been around them. But I'll tell you what, after that, it's the best thing that has ever, ever happened to me. And it's made me a better person. So I'm not saying just to run out and find some random person, but when it does happen, it's a pretty awesome thing.
Yes, don't go prepositioning women like on the street, you know, like, oh, would you like to be the mother of my child? But yeah, I definitely think having kids, you know, this is something I planned on doing, but it just really works out for us. So, yeah.
Name, job, child.
I shouldn't just go out and say, hey, want a bump for babies?
Want to hole up in camp?
If you know what I mean.
I got the stones. If you got the bard.
Oh, that one is. I would advise against that.
That was.
I barely stand.
It was clever. Like most good puns, it was clever and horrible at the same time.
There are no bad puns.
I can barely stand living with my cat, much less living with someone else.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm not a big fan of cats, but the interesting thing about having a child is you're responsible for shaping their perception of the world. So ideally you're not just making them a mini-me, like a copy of yourself. You're trying to make them better than yourself.
And, oh man, I've been doing it wrong then.
I know. Well, a lot of people do. A lot of people actually do try to force them to believe whatever they believe and make them little clones, but I mean, I think I tend to think dragons, you know, more enlightened than that. But
we tell ourselves these things.
But anyway, like seriously, back to the bash, though, although that was a cool tangent because like I wasn't there. I'm not sure how many people here were in the podcast were there and how many weren't. But like I want to hear the stories, you know, I want to hear like anything. I don't care what it is, like anything that happened, like what it was like when somebody got to their hotel room, what it was like the first time they met another dragon, you know, like what it was like when you knew someone online, but then when you saw them, you didn't know who the hell they were. And then like at the point when you discovered, oh my God, you know, this is whatever dragon, like what that was like.
Oh, it's the coolest feeling. I mean, I've now had the chance to meet over 100 dragons in person, but there's always that first moment. Like, you know who they are. You know them inside and out, or, well, you know them inside. And then when you meet the outside, it's like, oh, you're that dragon. And, you know, because you already know what their personality is like. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter, you know, their outward appearance, but it's this awesome moment where you can really relate to somebody, even though the outside of them is a perfect stranger standing in front of you. So it is a really, really cool moment.
Yeah, the opportunity to catch up with I think about 8 or 9 dragons that I had only ever known before from the old RC news groups, basically. People who I'd like debated with, who we'd like written collaborative fiction with, but never actually met in person. That was pretty awesome.
I think Facebook has somewhat diluted that experience because of so many people putting their photo up on Facebook. But Helgraf, I didn't know what you looked like before other than a gargoyle Navi. So that was cool to meet you in person last summer.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting him to just look like that, honestly.
I thought so too, but he actually looks like
Like I said at the bash, if I'd had a little more time, I totally would have printed out a face mask of that icon to wear over my face. But time and circumstances didn't come together on that project.
I remember the IRC channel.
Oh yeah, we were on the IRC.
Yeah, I was on IRC as well early on, and then I moved to the Wearmount basically.
And I remember I was on IRC about maybe 12 years ago.
I sort of skipped the IRC, went straight maybe to the Wearmount.
Yeah, I would have missed you, Draxnath, because I was there in 95, and then when the Wearmount started in April, I changed over pretty quick.
Yeah, I think for me, I joined the Wearmount pretty quickly, but I was on IRC like in 94 to 95, possibly.
Sounds so about I don't, right.
Yeah. So
you were there when I was there in the spring of 95.
Uh-huh.
My first time on IRC was on a different channel in a game developers community. And that was in 1997, I think.
Okay.
That was my first time on IRC.
Mm. Were there a lot of people on the IRC at that time?
Well, on that game community, there were lots of people, and there was a lot of sharing and programming and things like C, C++, JavaScript, Java, a little of Python. But it wasn't until 2002 or 2003 when I joined the UDIC channel on IRC.
That's funny. I didn't even know there was an Ultimate Dragons IRC channel. I remember, you know, back when I was on dial-up with Q-Modem, which was like a text-based, I guess, dial-up client. And of course, you know,
there was the Exalt channel.
Okay, yeah, this is later than with Exalt. But yeah, I started on the Usenet. I know some people started earlier on Prodigy, but I went from like Usenet to, I guess, Kenneth's site, the Ultimate Codex, and then later, begrudgingly, Facebook.
Now tell us how you really feel.
Now, you don't want to know how I really feel. That would get some sort of... Kenneth would edit me, basically.
You know, I kind of feel like Facebook was the renaissance of the Ultimate Dragons.
Yeah, it is, and that's why Facebook is so successful. Because, like, despite people's complaints about it, you know, it's ultimately incredibly effective at bringing people together in a way that's like super convenient and like largely disposable. It's because there's so much content and so much of it is just, I don't know, like not
trash.
Yeah, it's almost like bots. It's almost like it conditions humans to become bots. Even Dr. Cat was like, I'm a node, you know, on the new neural network, filtering content for people. And, you know, there's something creepy about that. But whatever, you know, we enjoy it, so it's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my feeling is that it's not the worst thing. I mean, I feel like the hardest thing is that you can't really find the topics that you were interested in very easily because it's just all chronological. But I mean, in a large part, that's how we've been getting out the blast for, you know, the bash to reach people. So, you know, I feel like it has a lot of positives going for it too.
I think we need to bring back the Ring of Dragons.
Wow, that relic.
There are still a ton of dragons that aren't part of the Facebook group, though, because last year when I was doing some of the legwork, I literally emailed thousands of dragons, and I actually got a hold of a whole bunch of people who weren't part of the Facebook group yet, who weren't on Facebook. Several of the dragons who came to the party do not use Facebook, so I think it's important to remember that Facebook is not just, or, you know, the Ultimate Dragons aren't just one website. They're not just one location on the web. They're pretty much everywhere on the internet. So it's important to keep in touch with them as well.
Right. And then that was kind of the plan behind the new website, right, Cran, that we're designing?
Yeah.
New website, you say?
It's not been officially announced yet. So,
Oh,
now you got to talk about it. You can't put it back in the box.
Yeah, that's it. Someone rubbed the lamp.
The cat's out.
Well, I'll just say we're working on a solution to the shortcomings of Facebook and other social media sites. So that is something that I've also been planning for quite some time. The party is just the beginning.
Nice.
Feature updates.
Excellent.
Yeah, my only advice is to try to keep it as clean in the elegant sense as possible. Don't load it up with a bunch of plugins. Don't make it slow. Don't make it bandwidth intensive. Don't make it unintuitive or cluttered.
How about merging the rosters? Because right now we have the Facebook roster, the original UDIC roster, the Google Plus roster.
Already done.
Concurrent development.
That's just how she rolls. By the way, how did the future of the Ultimate Dragons roundtable thing go? Because I kind of missed that.
So did I. I kept trying to rally people for it, but they were already in the midst of different games. Some were still playing Nystol's game, and by the time that ended, another game had started up, and the auction was ending at the moment, and I was helping to wrap stuff up. So that sort of fell by the wayside, and I really kind of feel bad about that, because people like Dark Vengeance were there, and I wanted to get him on it because he was one of the very first dragons from 92, and some other people that I wanted to kind of rally around and, you know, kind of talk through some of my ideas with weren't there. So we might have to have a hangout or something to actually do that officially. But
yeah,
the official announcement of certain things that I have planned, but actually didn't get to happen.
I think it actually might work out better to have it online because, yeah, like you said, there are so many dragons that weren't able to come that would probably like to, you know, chime in on that kind of stuff. So,
we could do like a Google Hangout sometime, just like we did before. So, yeah, I could set that up as a separate event.
I'll have to remember how to get in those things. It's been so long.
By the way, Cran, do you have like a list of things that you wanted to happen but didn't happen? Or, I mean, after the event, did you get to think about that?
The roundtable was the main thing, I think, that didn't actually get to happen. Most of the things that I had planned did end up happening. I think the only downside was there were so many things planned that not everybody got to participate in all of the things that they wanted to, which I kind of feel bad about. But at the same time, I didn't want people to be bored. I mean, I've never really planned a party before, so I wanted there to be plenty of things for people to do. So I hope that nobody was bored. And that was the thing that astounded me. Like, the panel was going on and like everybody was sitting there in rapt attention. Like, wow, people are actually engaged. They're not bored. Hooray. That was the watershed moment for me. That, like, wow, people are actually enjoying this. And this is
people like what you have brought together.
I guess so. I was really astonished when I realized everybody is engaged, everybody is really enjoying themselves and are happy to be there. So I was so worried. I was so worried people would be bored, people wouldn't want to show up, or, you know, just come there and sit around going, okay, what are we doing? But there were activities. I mean, there was coloring. You could make a shield on the back table. There were frisbees and beach balls for the kids, the coloring castle. I think the kids had a good time. I know Monica and Enchantress and a few other people were pretty busy with the kids the whole time. But Nigel's game was going on in the corner. He had some fabulous set pieces that he 3D printed, painted himself, and the game looked really a lot of fun. I didn't get a chance to play it myself, but I peeked in every so often and I saw Lord British playing it. I saw the Avatar playing it. And it's like, wow, people are really getting into that. So there was just so much going on all at once. So yeah, if I were to do it again, I'd probably space things out a little bit more, but we had a very short amount of time to cram everything into. So it was a, you know, it was a give and take kind of situation. Like, do you participate in this and miss that, or do you do this or the other? So hopefully there's going to be more pictures and videos surfacing that people who couldn't come will actually be able to see and to kind of get the sense of what it was like being there.
Do you remember the drop spinning demonstration?
Yes, I saw a little of that, but yes, I knew it was happening. How many people actually did that?
So I talked to her after she was done demonstrating, and she said that the actual yarn she was spinning was up for auction, and whoever won was going to get to choose what she actually created with the yarn.
Yes.
What happened to that?
It wasn't bid on. I tried to explain what it was in one of the updates, that this is yarn with colors chosen by everybody who's there. So in everybody's Kickstarter surveys and in the surveys based on the surveys sent to the people who bought tickets through the ticketing site, everybody got to choose their favorite virtue. She bought the quantity of yarn in the colors based on those virtues, based on everybody's responses. So she was spinning the yarn out of those exact colors, and then people could bid on a handmade item made out of the resulting yarn. I don't know if people at the bash just didn't get over into the corner as much, or just didn't really get what it was because it wasn't a thing that was made yet. But she still has the yarn, as far as I know. And if somebody wants to, you know, buy a handmade thing from her, they can do that. But yeah, she was going to make them a shawl or, you know, something handmade out of that yarn. She said a sweater was too complex. And it would be hard without the person in front of you because it has to be like sized properly, the sleeves the right length and all that. But, you know, some kind of a handmade thing or a wall hanging. She made me a really cool, I think, crocheted Ankh doily for my wedding present. So that was a really cool thing. But that's the kind of thing that she can do really, really finely, intricately detailed and knitted or crocheted items. So she's really good. So I think people just didn't really get what that was about. But as far as I know, she'll still be willing to make it for somebody. So I can put them in touch with her if somebody still wants something made by her with a unique combination of everybody's input from the bash.
Yeah, we need a UDRC Facebook post or something to pimp that out some.
Also, people who are listening to this podcast, if you're interested in that, get in touch with Galara on Facebook or Discord.
Yes, marketing is everything. If nobody knows it exists, then they will not be interested in it. So,
yeah, I put it in one of the emailing list updates as well. But yeah, I think everybody just missed it because there were so many other important things going on. So it was really a lot of information to get out.
The idea was kind of high concept, which did make it a little hard to follow. I'll admit I wasn't quite sure what was happening there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a crafter myself. I don't knit or crochet, but I do cross stitch and I do lots of different things. So I can kind of envision, okay, you know, this raw material is going to get made into a completed thing, but not everybody can think like really abstractly like that, I guess.
I got the whole part about the thing that something was going to be made of it. I didn't know anything about the whole, well, the color pattern was based on the surveys that everyone completed. That part I was completely in the dark about.
Well, that's why that question was there on your survey. What is your favorite virtue?
And I didn't see the correlation between answering that question and how it connected at the far end.
Yeah.
But I actually thought you were going to print like the rune for each virtue on our name tag or something based on our answer.
Well, I put everybody's dragon name on their name tag. I did
catch that.
Well, there was a survey question for what do you want on your name tag. Some people put their human name, so I follow their wishes. If that's what they want to be called, then that's what they get. But if they were also a dragon, then their dragon name was in runic under their real name.
Yeah, one thing that could be done with the yarn is possibly like sort the colors out to their closest RGB equivalents or something and actually try to weave them. You mentioned like a tapestry, like perhaps weave them into a small tapestry of pixel art, you know, like the avatar from Ultima 5 or something like that. So if you stood back from it from a distance, the colors would actually kind of blend together, you know, to represent the EGA palette. That would be pretty dope.
A tapestry of ages?
It might be a little complicated at this point. She already spun all the colors together, so it's like a variegated, multicolored ball of yarn right now.
Oh, okay.
So probably
I say scarf. Let's just go with a scarf.
Scarf is fine. Scarves are useful. Yeah, like a scarf or a shawl, that kind of thing. So it'll still be the color palette based on the virtues, but weaving a specific pattern with the colors might be a little hard. I mean, she can do it, but not with this particular yarn because it's already multicolored.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and one thing that I was thinking, you know, I haven't actually looked at Sinentai's footage yet, but, you know, I think that we should do sort of like a highlights of the bash kind of video. If I can get the footage before June, I might be able to put it together. Otherwise, I probably won't be able to help you there, but
that's you okay. Know, I mean,
yeah, something like that. Like even if it's just like short little blurbs, and then we could post it. You know, you could put it up on the website or send it to the backers, that kind of stuff, just to get, you know, more in depth look at what happened. You know, for people who just didn't get to see everything, because I definitely didn't get to go everywhere.
Oh yeah, me neither. Believe me, there were so many things I missed, and I would have loved to be around for. But I mean, with 112 people or so all milling around, there was no way I could pay attention to everything. But I figured that's okay. You know, I tried to make sure that it happened, and I tried to make sure that people were enjoying it. So, yeah, like all of the plays, the panels, everything, even the musical performance, it wasn't for me. It wasn't even a matter of, okay, I get to relax and enjoy this now. I was just said, okay, that's happening. Okay, good. You know, now moving on to the next thing. Now working on setting up the next thing that's going to happen. But I'm just glad that people enjoyed it.
Yeah, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know, I'm sure you sense, you know, you felt such a great sense of responsibility to ensure that everything did, all the pieces did fit together. Yeah, oh, there was always that pressure there. But what I want to know is like obviously like what was it like to see the space bars perform and or a recap, and like what were they like? Just like talking to them, you know, like what were they like?
And then they're great. They helped audio the entire day. They were setting up at 7 a.m. and then their performance wasn't until about 8 p.m. So they were busy like the entire day helping with the audio levels, and they helped us out. They actually did a huge amount of help.
So they seem super, I've never met them, but you know, they seem really super cool based on everything.
Oh, they rock so much. They're such nice guys, and they're really good at what they do. And by the end of the night, everybody was dancing. They were really getting into the music. Even if people had never heard them before, they were enjoying the music so much.
Yeah, almost. There was a small conclave of us that had set out to the outside of the Reg Hall to set up an epic Cards Against Humanity game.
So you didn't get to hear the concert?
Oh, we heard it. But we weren't around with it. Like we were still out in the hallway when the dance thon portion was going on.
you missed an epic conga line.
So I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, by the time the concert was starting, I was just at that point getting my food, finally getting to eat because okay, that's happening. I did stop to take some pictures, but I didn't even take as many pictures as I wanted to just because I had people peppering me with questions the entire time. But that's okay. I mean, I expected that kind of thing would happen. But when the concert finally started, I was just then sitting down to eat. I'm like, okay, I can eat now. And I was actually talking with Gold and got to hear a little bit of backstory about from when he started the dragons, because we did have to start somewhere. And people who were there got a little bit more of the actual origin of the Ultima Dragons themselves, which was quite cool.
Yeah, what was that like, that you talked to the actual founder of the Ultima Dragons? That even happened is incredible to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I happened to find him, for one. I had searched for the name Doug Ricketts so many times over the last few years. I didn't know if there was one T or two T's, because he'd spelled it differently. I could not find him, but I'm like, this guy must be out there somewhere. And according to him, he'd only really been around for about the first year of the Dragons on Prodigy. But he was on the IRC one day that I was there in probably about April of 95. And he was, you know, asking how the internet chapter was going, and, you know, was happy to hear that we were still around and still doing things. But then he kind of disappeared after that. Wasn't seen for more than 20 more years. So I finally searched for him again last year sometime. And as it turns out, he had just started a company. And his picture was on the page as one of the directors, because I think it's either his company or he's like on the board or something like that. So he's a bigwig at this company. And I didn't really have a way to contact him directly, so I wrote to the customer service line on the website. And I hate to be the intern who got that mail, because they had to answer the question like, this sounds like a weird question, but is your boss a dragon?
Yes.
Well, it got to him. I'm sure somebody low level went, boss, you really ought to see this one. But it actually got to him, and he wrote back, and he's like, wow, you guys are still here. And he said, I'd love to come to the bash. So he came, his parents came, and he brought his kid to Disneyland. I didn't actually get to meet his kid, but he wasn't there a lot of the day, but he got to do a bit of a speech near the end of the night. And it was cool because he talked about how he started Puff and how it became the Ultimate Dragons. And I mean, it's common enough knowledge. A lot of people do know the story, and I put it in my book as well. But I mean, do you guys want me to hear that? Do you guys know it already, or
from me to the benefit of our listeners? I do not. Let's have it.
Consult the book of Cran, chapters 1 through 3.
Yes, we need physical copies of this book. I don't know if you've already planned that or what.
I'm still working on sending out the physical rewards, especially the people who are getting goodie bags who could not come. So they have first dibs on the books. If there's enough demand, I might do a second printing, but depending on how many I get printed, it might be more expensive. So
I would buy one. I'd look into like on-demand printing solutions where if just one person needs one, you know, you can just do that and not actually suffer any additional charges. Just get it to them for what it's worth.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good picture. But
that is a glorious beard.
Yes. So, well, the bearding system was my idea of a couple of years ago, because traditionally from the relatively early edict, it was about 1997, it was Geomorphic's idea to give some of the older and or more distinguished members of our club a beard for being old, of course. So the idea of a white beard actually came about first. Later, it was
gray beards.
Suggested that some old dragons become gray beards, and that's when that terminology came in. So there was some debate over, like, well, should a white beard be a prodigy-only dragon, the earliest dragons, or just a really old dragon? And a graybeard should be just a somewhat year old dragon. So it was usually a graybeard was 1 year older. That meant you'd spent enough time with the club that you kind of know the ins and outs of how we do things. But anymore, I think from Facebook, people don't always get the fullest sense of all that the club was about. Given that we still have people saying, you know, why are you not talking about Ultima? all the time. I think that's kind of important that they really get the sense of like, okay, we're about more than just Ultima. We wouldn't have lasted 25 years if we only talked about Ultima. You know, there's a little more to us than that.
The series news group died off long before the Dragons one did.
Yeah. The key to our longevity, I think, is that we are friends with each other. We care about each other and not just the games. We care about each other's interests. You know, we're part of each other's families. And I think that's a whole lot more important than just we talk about games. We would be nothing if we were only a gaming forum. But at any rate, I came up with this silly idea a couple of years ago to get a lot more different colors of beards. So the oldest dragons now are, I think, Trilithium beards or Blackrock beards, but it starts with like 1, 2, 3 years, you know, blue beard, yellow beard, red beard. So there's a chart in the book as well as posted on Facebook a while ago. And I think there's a story in the Ultima Codex when I started that too, but it caught on. I mean, nobody has to officially say that they're any color of beard if they don't want to, but I said there is only one gold beard to be given to Gold Dragon. And at the time, Gold Dragon was far away from everything, so I had no idea that 2 years later I'd be able to actually give Gold Dragon a gold beard, but I did that. So I'm really kind of happy that I was able to do that. And that beard actually I got for a costume a while back because I dressed up as Nigel Richards for Halloween 1 year, so I was able to kind of repurpose that.
That's red. I thought it looked familiar.
It was the Nigel beard, yes, painted gold. It took an entire can of gold spray paint.
Just but, one?
Yeah, a little can. But I'm like, well, that's gold enough. So,
well, it matches his highlights beautifully, so you did a great job.
And I think it's hilarious that he didn't even know that this was happening, and he was such a good sport and put it on for everybody. So that was a whole lot of fun. But the story of the origin of the dragons, back on Prodigy, it was not connected to the rest of the internet proper at the time. It was just one of many competing online services like America Online, like Genie, CompuServe, and Delphi were the other big ones at the time. The internet was a thing, but it wasn't graphical yet. There was no World Wide Web. No graphics. It was all text. It was all done over Telnet, over FTP. It was a lot more primitive. I mean, we still use Telnet on the wear mount today. That's probably one of the last remaining vestiges of this older internet. But
don't forget the BBSs run from just random people's houses.
There were, and some did offer portals to the internet now that I think about it. But yeah, BBSs were usually local. They usually allowed maybe a handful of users at a time. I knew a BBS that was local to my town that only allowed one user to dial in at once. So you could communicate with people, log in, leave a message, log out, and then they could get back to you. But it was really limited. So there were a whole bunch of competing services at the time. Well, Prodigy was one of them. Prodigy was different in that it had graphics. And the way that Prodigy displayed graphics was not that it sent images over the phone lines, because phone lines were very slow at the time. Bandwidth was very limited. It passed along instructions to your computer, like, okay, start with a dot here and draw a line from here to here and fill it with this color. So it kind of drew the graphics on screen for you. And that was unique at the time, but a lot of people were drawn to it because of different features like that. It had a bulletin board system where the Ultima Dragons did start. That was the one online service that I never tried. I never got to Prodigy myself, but I heard about it. I knew of it. I used Delphi later because it did allow access to the internet. But as far as on Prodigy, it had a message board system, and there were, you know, like things, boards about video games and different topics. Well, some people on the gaming forums, they liked Ultima, so they formed loose associations. Two of these were the Evil Avatars and the GUPS, which stood for Good Ultima Players Pounding Evil Slime. They later became the Protectors of Virtue and Lord British, or the PVLBs. Well, the GUPS and PVLBs were competing. They did their own little role plays and acted out stories within the setting of Ultima 6, which was new at the time. So they had their own little wars, and eventually they got to bickering, and it was a little more ruthless than just, you know, let's all play around in this arena. Well, one user of Prodigy, who was 13 at the time, this young Doug Rickett, he said, okay, you guys are fighting way too much. Are you here to just talk about Ultima, or, you know, what's going on? So his question posed to everybody who was fighting was, do you play Ultima for fun? So he became the leader of a new club called Puff, or Players of Ultima for Fun. And the existing EAs and PVLBs thought this was a ridiculous idea. So one of the evil avatars said, oh, this is like Puff the Magic Dragon. And he's like, wait a minute, I could do something with this. So instead of taking it as an insult, he renamed the club the Dragons. And thus we were the Ultima Dragons ever since that day, February 27th, 1992. And it was only in 94, after a lot of people had left Prodigy, they started reforming on the internet itself, thus the UDIC, or Ultima Dragons Internet Chapter. And the rest is history. The rest is a whole lot of history that I try to chronicle in the book, but there's still even more than that. So that was the first 3 years in a nutshell.
History has a way of expanding.
Yes, and Vasara said February 27th was a great date. I think so, because it was his 10th birthday, right?
A couple other things I wanted to know about is, and there's a video of one of them, is apparently someone during dinner stole Lord British's fork.
I heard about that. I didn't actually get to witness it or be around at all when that was going on.
I was at the next table over when this happened.
Nice. It happened right behind me. I saw the guy run, but I didn't identify who it was.
Oh, I don't even know who it was either. I just heard that it happened.
And Houston Dragon, I wish he would have shown up tonight. He knew who it was. Because he was actually sitting at the same table as Richard Garriott when it happened.
Amusingly, it took Lord British a moment, and then he snapped right into character, and he's doing that, like, that LARP-style hand gestures of, like, flinging lightning at the guy.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't see that at all. Wow.
Yeah, we saw him from our table. He ran, like, clear across the room, so that guy was committed.
Yeah, he bolted.
So I still think it's awesome that it's based on the actual situation in Ultima 6 that you can get into, because Lord British says to you, okay, you can have anything in the castle to help you with your quest and most of the stuff you can pick up. But in the game, there is a mug that if you take it, the game flags it as stealing. So even though Lord British said you can take anything, if you take this one mug, it counts you as stealing, and he sends the guards after you and shoots firebolts after you and stuff. But in Dragon's lore, it became a fork. So anytime that you hear a joke about stealing Lord British's fork, it's actually unique to the dragons, or it came from the dragons. Even if a non-dragon puts it forward, it is because they heard it from an Ultima Dragon source. So that actually is a unique situation that arose from within our club.
Wow. All this time I have believed it was a fork. I feel kind of jaded now.
No, we just forked Lord British.
Bam.
Well, you know, spooning leads to forking.
You see, I don't even have to do anything. It writes itself.
Yeah, don't feel bad. I've been killed for stealing so many things in so many Ultima games that it all becomes one big blur at some point. So it's all right.
Death.
Yeah, basically. And fun.
But yeah, that, to think of it, the fork thing might have originated with the evil avatars, so it might have actually predated the dragons, but the dragons carried on that tradition of it being a fork. Oh yeah, Bob, that is Iluro dragon. Yeah, I think
that's like, who the thief was, but I'm not certain.
Yeah. May he rest in peace.
There is a video Chris, somewhere of this.
Yes. May he rest in crispy, crispy peace.
Joined the dragons like 2 days before I did, or 2 days after. He was really close in joining to me.
For the next bash, when someone steals Lord British's fork, I hope that you've upgraded the effects such that Richard Garriott already has Roman candles strapped to each arm. So he can actually fire flaming projectiles across the dining hall.
That was going to be our next stretch goal. But yes.
The insurance bill for that shenanigans.
Yeah, Disney might not have allowed that, given that they didn't even want us to bring in helium for the balloons. They might have been a little strict against that.
This is true, but it's often been said that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
I'm just glad they didn't stop me from setting fires.
Yeah, perhaps it is easier to do that. But if we ever want to use Disney again, it wouldn't have happened.
It's easy to ask for a fire extinguisher than permission, but it's a really bad idea.
I like it. I won't be convinced. I still think it's an awesome idea.
Maybe we'll have like LED effects or something. I don't know. We have 5 years to figure out something. But yeah, and she lit the candles. So we did have open flame, technically, in bowls of water.
Yeah, I was kind of like, are they going to stop me? I guess I should just keep lighting them until they stop me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you did the right thing and nobody said anything. And I think they look great. I got so many compliments on those centerpieces, just so you know. People really like them.
Yay! I'm not a decorator by profession, so, you know, yay. I'm glad they liked it.
If I'd had a bigger budget, I probably would have gone all out with the decorations. But as it was, like there were so many big expensive things already, I didn't have a lot of budget left over. But if I had had a bigger budget, one of the things I wanted to talk about, if I had been able to do more things or do it differently, I would have had more decorations. I would have had an actual backdrop for the stage. I would have had lighting for the space bars and a spotlight for the stage.
Perhaps a giant fellowship medallion for the fellowship hall?
Perhaps. Yeah, I mean,
that would have been cool.
Lights over the stage, it would have cost us like thousands of more dollars. Ooh. As it is, we owed over $10,500 to Disney. And like, there were so many big expenses that we had. Like, the t-shirts cost $2,500, the maps cost about $1,000. I mean, there were just so many little things that turned into big things that did add up. And Basara asked, did the auction help recoup expenses? Yes. I think we are pretty close to even now. It was tight. I mean, I poured every penny into everything that I could. I mean, I really wanted to go all out with the loot. And I think people who went really enjoyed their goodies that they got. So I really, really wanted to say, hey, look, you know, I'm not doing this to make money. I know I'm asking for money and I'm asking for this through the Kickstarter, but I really want to put all this back into the community and to do as much for you guys as possible. And I think people really did enjoy what they got in their bags. I hope you guys were surprised. I hope
the goodie bag was awesome, Gran. But I got to admit, I was thrown off by the blue duck. I did not know what that was about until I read the book.
Yes, that is a very, very old thing about the dragons.
That was an old and somewhat ugly chapter.
It was. Yeah, I mean, I just think that it's hilarious that I could actually get a blue duck made that had the Ultimate Dragons logo on it. But yeah, Operation Blue Duck was basically a coup in the government back when they had a government back on Prodigy. And it was not a really pretty situation. It really hurt a lot of feelings. But at the same time, it really made that era of the Dragons memorable to everybody who was involved. And I think had there not been so much turmoil, so much unrest, so much, you know, so much conflict, and part of the challenge of being a dragon was the service itself, because it was so slow, so expensive. There were so many obstacles just to get to socialize. And it wasn't like it is today, where you can just log in seconds and say what you're thinking. You had to pay money to post at all. Each time you expressed a thought, it cost 25 cents. So part of the thing that made being a dragon on Prodigy so memorable was all of these challenges that once you got past them, you were really just grateful to be there. So the mindset of the Prodigy Dragons is completely different from most of the internet chapter dragons. But Operation Blue Duck was one of the very memorable events for those who were there. So I was looking for unique items to get made for the goodie bags. I'm like, I could make a duck. And the hilarious thing is, I was listening to back issues of Spam, 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 Humbug, and actually Gollum and with Stan the Fury were talking about, like, okay, what could they do for the bash? What kind of goody things might they do? And they actually suggested ducks, having no idea that I'd actually already gotten ducks made, which is hilarious, because I don't think they knew about Operation Blue Duck at the time either. So it just
all sort of... I think theirs was just a reference to the old Dupre joke about want to buy a duck.
There's that too, but
well, there's that guy in the sewer will slip a rubber duck into your pack when you finish talking with him.
Are actually a lot of duck references in Ultima itself, yes, but I think the event in the Dragons was just completely independent of the presence of ducks in Ultima, just because Skyblade liked ducks, and Monomolecular named this operation after her liking of ducks, and he just pulled a... it wasn't Photoshop, but probably like paint or something, pulled it up on the screen and took a piece of duck clip art and turned it blue. And she just got a kick out of that. So that it just became their code name for their usurping of the government.
Tyranny at the hands of a blue duck.
For those of us who do not have a copy of the book, and I was on Prodigy until I was perma-banned by my parents. because the bills were like, you know, damaging at that point. So what they started charging for what? Sending an email, like 25 cents for an email. Like what?
They did. Prodigy went through about four different pricing structures. So like four different pricing schemes. So they kind of eased off after a while, but then everybody started using their bulletin boards again, so they raised the prices again. Older members were originally grandfathered in under a cheaper pricing scheme, but then they raised the prices for everybody. So a lot of people were like, I've been under this plan, you know, where I pay so many dollars per hour for this long, and now they're going to make it this much per month instead, and it costs way more, so I'm out of here. A lot of dragons left Prodigy because of that.
But so, the duck, though, like, I need an explanation for it. Why is there a blue duck?
It's like I said, it was just the code name for the attempted overthrow, or like the attempt to stop the overthrow of the government.
Okay.
Back when the Ultimate Dragons had a government, which the internet chapter does not and probably won't ever, but that's
we rightly decided that government was evil.
Yeah.
Self-governing anarchists.
Pretty much. I mean, at this point, there's no one real leader even still for the EDIC, and I think it's fine. Like, if somebody wants to do something for the club, they can. So that's the beauty of it. And I think that's also part of why we've lasted so long. Like, if there was one single leader and they got busy in their life and left, then there would be nobody to sustain the club if they didn't appoint somebody else in charge. So the lack of government has also been part of why we've lasted this long.
That's an interesting perspective, because typically the government is designed to ensure continuity. So it's actually the complete opposite in this case.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the core tenets that the UDIC was set up under, is there's the old FAQ, and it was written by Ethereal and Mono, and they were pretty much the closest thing that the dragons had to a leader at the time, but they knew a lot about the dragons. They were there for a lot of it. They'd heard all the stories, talked with some of the founders, and been there through some of the turmoil that the government caused. But from their point of view, having a government just caused backstabbing and caused people vying for power and people trying to win each other's favor. And they're like, all right, we want none of that. Everybody is the equal rank. And I go into all of this in the book. There's a huge, complicated system of ranks and medals and different designations. Middle circle, outer circle, upper circle, leader. I mean, these people took all of these ranks and designations really seriously. And looking back at some of the old Prodigy posts, it's like, wow, you know, that was really meaningful to them. Also, most of them were teenagers at the time, so they didn't actually have experience with real politics. Now, it's a little bit different because we can vote and we can, you know, participate in our actual government if we want to. But this was a way that, you know, young people could practice actually having some kind of power. And surprisingly, but there have been some Prodigy Dragons who've gone into politics now just because of their experience in leadership in the Prodigy chapters. So they've actually been able to use that as real world experience. And I think that's kind of cool.
It's kind of funny too, because there's this weird dichotomy of like, oh, you know, we hate the government, but then we also have deep pride in like these long titles and after our name, you know, like with all the like the dashes and the parentheses and things like that too. Oh, maybe it's like a nostalgia thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the UDIC did start to have its own factions after a while. So like the Dragons Liberation Front and,
oh God, these guys.
Yeah, the PVLB kind of came back, but that was mostly just Whisper. I mean, there were the like these little sub chapters, I guess.
The Splatinos.
I know about the Unsplittables, but yeah, there's a lot that I wasn't around for. I tried to research as much as I possibly could for my history, but yeah, there's still a whole bunch of stuff that happened that I wasn't around for. So that's probably going to be like version 2 of the book if I ever get around to writing it.
Yes, the Ultima Dragons, the after years.
Yeah. Equally as fascinating, I think, is the dragon's internal lore that we have. And I kind of go into that somewhat too, but that's kind of encapsulated in Mono's story, The Core of Darkness. And I recommend that every dragon read it. If he's listening now, he's probably really, really embarrassed that I'm mentioning it again. But that is like our own story set about within Britannia about ourselves. So that's how the actual dragons as dragons fit into the story of Britannia in the big picture. So they're all kind of separate from the rest of Britannia. They exist, Lord British and the Avatar exist, but they don't really intersect very much. So I think now if people were to write fan fiction that takes place in the Dragon's Own universe, we're going to have to write a new chapter, because now that Lord British has become one of the dragons, now that he's Splunt Dragon, we can write a new chapter that has him coming up to the Wehrmount and interacting with the dragons. And, you know, we can write the pie getting thrown at him into our own stories.
Yeah, so it's fan fiction reboot.
Our fiction has become recursive.
Anything can be retconned, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And speaking of him being splutted, is there footage of that we could just put up, you know, just like on the Facebook or something like that?
Dark Wraith has the best video that I've seen so far. I know several other people took pictures and videos, and Sonentai does have the official video. I mean, I have the camera here. I haven't even had a chance to look at it, but she downloaded all of the footage from the video. So she has that is like the better camera.
Was
Something like that. That's pretty good.
I always call him Eolo, like Eolo, but apparently it's YOLO. But was YOLO there?
No.
No, he was not.
Yeah, we did not have David Watson.
And I always thought it was Iolo, so don't feel bad.
Me too, but
that's how I pronounce it too.
Welcome back, WTF.
Yeah, thanks.
We're talking all about you. Quick, everybody stop talking about him.
Why stop now?
It's not like I don't have the audio anyways.
We were all wondering, is your new kid a boy or a girl? Do you know?
Ah, they are about 80% certain that it's a boy.
Yay! Variety. Yeah.
So, the girls are very excited.
Or yay variety, as if all the girls are alike.
Well, yes and no. They're all equally crazy.
Well, boys and girls are often quite different, particularly.
Well, they are your children.
Yes, that they are. This pregnancy certainly has been very, very different from the other three in so many respects that I don't really need to go into details on now. But
anyway, back to the topic.
Exactly.
That's episode 77?
Yeah, the previous podcast addresses that.
Well, yes. Yeah. But anyways, enough about that.
So one of the
I came in just in time to hear about YOLO.
That I did post to Facebook about this, but for the benefit of your listeners, one of the neatest things that happened was Richard Garriott was on his way to the lunch, I think, on the first day, and they let him in for breakfast, but security would not let him through for the lunch. And they said, well, you're in costume. We don't really allow adults to wear costumes. And they turned him away. So I didn't even get to go to that lunch because I was so busy. But somebody finally force-fed me some of the pizza. So I did actually get to eat a little bit of lunch, which is more than I can say for some days. But
you're welcome.
Yes, thanks.
We will make sure you eat in the future.
it's not been the most important thing to me lately. Maybe I should eat a little more often. But
yeah, Cranberry, you can't just eat like a bagel a day, okay? That's not like sufficient to survive.
It's not even healthy.
If it's a Cinnabon, it's okay.
Well, yeah, Cinnabons, that's part of this complete process.
Cinnamon grows on a plant, so it's kind of like a vegetable.
Yeah. Yeah, Cinnabons have so much sugar in them, they're practically like liquid fuel.
Mm. Sugar comes from a plant, too.
Yes, I think so. I think dragons can survive on cinnamons. It's the cinnamon content that fuels the flames that we breathe, of course.
Yeah, well, yes.
But,
I remember the news groups, that's true.
Yeah.
I saw those flames.
Yep.
I thought it was the chili.
Chili, too.
Other flames.
But back to the story.
Going back to the breakfast, that was my first time ever seeing Richard Garriott in person in the wild. Wow. That I couldn't believe it. I showed up for the breakfast. I'm just grabbing my sandwich and the coffee, and suddenly I hear his voice, and I turn over. Wow. I just couldn't believe it. He was sitting there right there in front of me, talking, drinking coffee. I was starstruck. Couldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's the first time every one of us met Richard is very memorable. I met him first at the Heart of Britannia event, and he showed up with Kinga, with his daughter, and I remember when he showed up, it was very magic.
And then Sunday morning, so this is after the dancing events of Saturday night, I was early at Disneyland, and I had just gotten off Space Mountain. Actually, no, I'm sorry, off of Star Tours. And I see Richard Garriott and Recap hanging out in the store where you exit. And they had apparently just ridden Space Mountain 3 times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Well, that was another fun thing just to catch them candidly hanging out, being normal people.
Oh, well, sounds like such a good time.
Yeah, so the first day when he was trying to get to the lunch, which was inside the security gates, somebody happened to be watching. And from his point of view, this person was sitting just having lunch, and he happened to look over at the security gate while this guy in costume, this guy in this ridiculous getup, was trying to get through security. And he's like, yeah, what is this guy doing? But he's kind of dressed like Lord British. So this guy goes over to this clown who, you know, is in this, you know, really authentic looking Lord British getup. And he said, are you Lord British? Thinking, okay, he's probably going to think I'm insane, but, or, you know, this is just this guy in the costume. But Richard Garriott turns to him and says, yes, I am. I am Lord British.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy happened to be watching, happened to be looking, and happened to recognize the guy. Well, the passerby who approached him just happened to be a dragon and just happened to be there at that time. And he had had no idea the dragons were even still around, much less that we were throwing this gigantic bash. And, excuse me, he came back to the party room and he's like, can I, you know, like peek in and see him? Like, yeah, just come in. And he actually got to see the play that Golden Flame was performing, the Golden Flame wrote, and that he, Star, and J.G. Shakespeare were performing. So he was really, really impressed. And I think he joined the Facebook group after that. And he was just blown away that he happened to know who Lord British was and happened to see this. So we gained another old dragon back, which I think is the greatest thing.
He was living under a rock dragon?
Apparently. I mean, if you didn't hear that the Facebook group blew up, if you look at the news group now, it's not very populated. So I guess if you go actively looking, then it might not be that hard to find. But at the same time, if you were part of the news group or part of the IRC or part of...
You've really got no reason to be doing that. Yeah. It was really cool the way that worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure there's still some dragons out there who didn't realize that, you know, we are still around, or didn't realize that we were on Facebook, or they got busy in their own lives, got distracted. Because I'm sure that's happened to most of us at some point or another. You know, and then you don't think, oh, yeah, let me go find the dragons again. But it seems like that's still happening. Some people are like, oh, you know, let me go look at this thing that I was part of years ago. Or some people are still discovering the dragons today. We had a huge number of joins during the Kickstarter. Probably all the publicity around that. A lot of new people signed up to actually be dragons. So I think that's quite cool. But one of the things I was hoping would come of this party is that the kids are the most important thing. I would hope that some of the kids would actually play Ultima with their families and they would see that it's such a big deal and these games can really leave a lasting impression. And it's the kids that are going to be responsible for carrying on the traditions of the Ultima Dragons. We're not going to be around forever. I'm hoping that our kids, I don't have any kids myself yet, but a lot of other dragons do. And I hope that they carry on the mantle long after we're gone, because the Ultima Dragons are forever. The Ultima games, the concepts are timeless. They're things that, you know, endure even beyond the dated to some looking graphics or, you know, any given platform that they were once run on. I think the games are really culturally significant, and I think that the Ultima Dragons building up their own culture around the games, but also outside of the games. There's so many different things that are part of dragon culture that do not come from Ultima. And I think that that's okay, because we are a unique conglomeration of all of our collective interests and experiences. And I think it's important to carry on that unique, one-of-a-kind, you know, instance in internet history, but still at the same time build up traditions and continue to add to our collective. That's how we live and breathe and grow. And I think the dragons will last forever if we sustain that.
Well, I couldn't ask for a better note to bring things to a close on than that. So I think that is actually a very excellent note to close on. And I do agree. I mean, it's very easy, even just from, you know, the perspective of playing video games, like it's very easy to lose sight of, and you know, we see this all the time, right? Like, I mean, even look at the discussions right now around like Breath of the Wild and how it has all these amazing immersive sim features, and the really astute gaming press authors, columnists, call them what you want, sometimes clue in, oh yeah, well, that's kind of like in Ultima or, you know, System Shock or whatever, right? Like it, or, and then some of the younger ones are just like, hey, this is kind of like in Dishonored. It's like, yeah, well, what is Dishonored like in? Because it's easy to lose sight of, you know, stuff that happened outside your lifetime, or at least outside the part of your lifetime that you were cognizant of. And I mean, you know, let's face it, like, a lot of the dragons are definitely older. I'm not the baby of the group as far as, you know, the Facebook group membership goes, but I'm definitely one of the younger members and I'm 35. So it's easy to lose sight of these older games, these older series. And it's unfortunate when that happens, because of course you've got so much, like you said, Cran, you know, so much cultural significance and just more generally, so much excellent examples of the craft of video game making, in these older games. But okay, they don't, you know, they're 2D and pixel art and they're not 3D and whatever else have you, right? So it is, it's easy to lose sight of them. And it's good to be able to introduce kids to them, because, you know, then, well, A, they can see like, hey, this has been around for a long time. And hey, there's some really cool things that happened, you know, way back when. It's kind of the same as introducing them to old movies. Like my kids love watching Alice in Wonderland, which not the Johnny Depp one, the Disney animated one, which, you know, came out, gosh, excuse me,
quite some time ago.
Yes. And, you know, I think the same is broadly true for video games. You know, the fact that a video game was made maybe before you were born, or, you know, at least before you were old enough to work a keyboard effectively, doesn't necessarily mean that it should escape your notice, doesn't necessarily mean that it is not something that you're going to find a great deal of enjoyment and significance in. So I do think you're right, Cran. I think there's a lot to be passed on. For my part, I'm going to try. Well, if you like Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug, dear listener, you can, of course, support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/UltimaCodex. That's where you can get access to the episodes, actually, a day before they go live on the Ultima Codex. And when I get back to uploading preambles from the episodes, because I'm a few behind, that's kind of a Patreon exclusive, is you can get access to some of the outside the show audio, let's say. However, if the monthly subscription thing isn't your thing, if you're listening to this podcast, hopefully you like video games. I can't imagine why you would still be listening at this point if you didn't. And if you do like video games, you can buy your video games at GOG. They have a pretty great library of the classic games, including the Ultimas, and a lot of other great stuff too, plus newer games as well, new releases. And we get a bit, the Ultima Codex gets a bit of a commission off the top of all of that. But you know what? Maybe even more important than that stuff is your moral support. You can like Ultima on Facebook, facebook.com/theUltimaseries, or you can follow at Ultima Codex on Twitter. And you know what? The best thing you can do is if you see something, whether it's a podcast episode or a little bit of Ultima news that gets posted, that you really, really like, share it, you know, retweet it or share it on your Facebook wall, or open up the original article and share it out to Google Plus or whatever your favorite social network happens to be. Just spread the word around, because like Cran said, you know, Ultima is a thing worth preserving, worth introducing to the next generation, to new and more people. So that is an easy way that you can do that. Now, if you want to join the Ultima community, UDIC.org is, of course, your gateway to doing that. That's where you can pick and register your very own dragon name. You can also find the Ultima Dragons on Facebook and on Google Plus. There are groups on both. You can follow at Ultima Dragons on Twitter for Ultima trivia and Cinnabon references and a whole bunch of other stuff besides. There is a barely used Ultima Dragons Slack channel. There's also a much more active Ultima Dragons Discord server. There'll be links for both in the show notes. And finally, if you want to get old school and find the dragons in their other unofficial home, you can check out the Wearmount. You will need a Telnet client for that. Finally, if you want to send some feedback to the podcast, you can do so, ultimacodex@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voice message. There is a link in the show notes that'll take you to a little webpage where you can record up to 90 seconds of audio. And you can join us on our Discord server too, if you want. That's where we record these episodes. That's where, you know, we all congregate to chat about various things. And you know what? Even if you don't want to actually participate in an episode, we do welcome you to just join the audio channel during episode recordings, and just lurk and, you know, listen and hear how this thing gets made. All right. So now let's see. Bullion, where can we find you online?
8virtues.com if you want to buy a Linux-based desktop PC. Facebook under Kevin Fishburne and 8virtues and 8V Radio. YouTube, Voss, Corp, Bet, Money. And anywhere you look for me, you'll find me.
There you go. How about you, Helgraf?
Well, you can find me as Helgraf on the Wearmount. Actually, if you look up a Helgraf on most social media sites, it's good odds it's me. The exception is Facebook. Facebook decided that they didn't like me being named Helgraf, so wah.
Silly real name policy. Golden Flame, where can we find you?
You can find me on both this and the UDIC Discord. You can find me in the UD Facebook. You can find me at tapestryofages.com.
Brilliant. Slashing Dragon, where can we find you?
You can find me at slashy.net, and that in there you can see the collection of games that I have developed and also the blog where I quite often post Ultima related stuff. So that may be interesting for you too.
Brilliant. And you are also, I believe, on Twitter as well, at @slashy_.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. So Darkwraith, this is the part of the show, if you listened to episodes before, where we just sort of, if there's any particular online presence that you'd care to announce, if people want to come find you at, where would that be? And if you'd rather not say, that's fine too.
I can usually be found on the UDIC Discord. I'm active on the Ultima Dragons Facebook page, and you can find me on Twitter as Firmix.
And can you just give me a spelling on that one?
F-E-R-M-I-X.
All right. Awesome. Thank you kindly. Draxanath. And actually, I should ask, am I pronouncing that even half correctly?
There's no set pronunciation, but you should pronounce it Draxanath.
All right. Well, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Steam as Draxanath, or you can find my Facebook page. It's Record of the Dragon Goddess.
Awesome. And you dropped a link in the channel for that one?
Yes, I did.
Brilliant. Thank you kindly. I'll make sure that gets included in the show notes.
I dropped it into the linkage subpage as well, because he dropped it right into the main chat.
More betterer. Thank you kindly. All right. How about you, Enchantress?
I guess I'm probably easiest to find on Facebook, on the Dragons page. I don't really have like a particular portal, you know.
No, that's cool. I mean, some of us have a large social media presence and some have none to speak of at all. I think my wife has a Twitter account and that's about the extent of it. And she posts to it about once every 4 months. And Cran, Galara, where can we find you?
To answer your question, I'm largely mostly on Facebook. Facebook maybe shortened my name to Cran Galara, but at least I can keep some form of both my names there. Unlike some poor victims like Helgraf. I do check in on the Ultima Dragons Facebook group regularly. I am also here on the Discord, but I'm more likely to miss things here just because there's a lot of talk and I don't always get into it every single day. So Facebook is usually the most reliable way to find me. I'm also on the Wear Mat Move almost all the time. So that's a good way if you actually want to chat with me. If you want to come and hang out, you're welcome to do that. I don't tend to miss much there because I keep the log open. So even if somebody said something hours before, I'm more likely to see it if I am logged in. But it requires a little bit of a learning curve to get in, but it's a heck of a lot of fun. You can cast spells and you can explore the landscape and, you know, just find out where the dragons call home. It's a big text adventure, basically. So I'm there most of the time. And if you want to email me, the party email address is still active. I'm probably still going to be mailing some things out to it as we wrap up about the party. The website for the party needs to be completely revamped and have the pictures and stories and videos and stuff on it. That's going to be a later project once I mail out all the Kickstarter rewards. But that's part of what I'm planning to work on in the semi-near future. So you can also email me at ultimadragons25th@gmail.com.
Brilliant. And you can, of course, find me on Twitter at WTF_dragon. You can find me on Facebook, the Ultima Codex, ultimacodex.com. Of course, I post a lot there, or I try to at any rate. I do have an about.me splash page, which links to various other of my social media profiles. And if scouting is a thing that is of any kind of interest to you, I do run another podcast, and you can find that at scoutingstuffpodcast.com. Well, wow. I am so looking forward to listening through the entirety of the audio for this. I'm sure it was just a rollicking good discussion. I was kind of following the chat as I was able, and that was certainly quite good. So, I do look forward to hearing what all you all had to say, and thank you so much for just soloing it, basically, just carrying it through for the evening while I was tending to, my wife and to other things. So thank you. Thank you all for being online. Thank you, to Cran and Golden Flame and everyone who put the bash on. I wish I could have been there, but I'm glad that many people were able to be there and able to take part in that and to have the experiences that they did. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome that the Ultimate Dragons are in their 25th year and still going strong now, yeah, coming up on 18 years after the last single player entry in the series was published. So, yeah. That's a lot of staying power for a fan club, and it's a great thing to see. And thank you out there, everyone, for listening. And until next time, be virtuous. Thank you.